नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्ण। वेलकम टू भागवत प्रवाह ऑनलाइन सीरीज ऑन द 10th कैंटो ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम। So far we covered the first 33 chapters of the 10th canto, and today we will begin the 34th chapter. In the previous episode we have seen how Krishna's rasa dance with the gopis of Vrindavan is so divine and transcendental, with absolutely no trace of mundane lust, and it is totally on a spiritual plane. That's a wonderful exchange of spiritual love between the Supreme Lord and his eternal consorts, the gopis of Vrindavan. So and that Rasalila happened during the autumn season, during the Sharad Ritu. So after that autumn season, the next events are Shivaratri and also Holi. So in the 34th chapter, Sukadeva Goswami describes what happened on Shivaratri day and Holi day. So on a Shivaratri day, all the Vrajavasis, headed by Nanda Maharaj, went to Ambikavan to perform some puja to Lord Shiva, Pashupati and Ambika. So all of them went there and they offered charity to the Brahmanas, they did some worship and they also fasted on that day. And somehow during the night, a big snake came and started swallowing Nanda Maharaj. So all the companions of Nanda Maharaj, the elderly gopas, they took their blazing torches, that's like burning with fire, and they started beating this snake to protect Nanda Maharaj. But still the snake is so powerful, so this fire could not do anything to the snake. The snake, the python, was actually so huge. So then all the Vrajavasis spontaneously called out for Krishna, "Oh Krishna, where are you? Please come and protect Nanda Maharaj." And Nanda Maharaj is being swallowed by this snake. So then Krishna came there running, and Krishna came and touched the snake with his divine transcendental lotus foot. As soon as Krishna's foot touched that snake was transformed into a very beautiful demigod, Gandharva. Then everyone was so astonished. So here Nanda Maharaj was being swallowed by this python, and suddenly that python got transformed into a beautiful demigod, as you are seeing in that picture. So then Krishna asked this Gandharva, "Oh Gandharva, you look like a great devata. So why are you staying in this form as a snake? So what happened to you?" So although Krishna knows everything, because he is the super soul, he is the Paramatma in everybody's heart, he knows the past, present and future, he exactly knows the history of this Gandharva. His name is Sudarshana. But still Krishna wanted Sudarshana himself to narrate his own previous history, so that everyone who is there at Ambikavan will get a proper instruction. So then this Sudarshana started speaking. What happened? "Oh my dear Lord, I was a Gandharva named Sudarshan, and once I saw Ashtavakramuni. Because of doing so many austerities, Ashtavakramuni's body was emaciated and he is not looking so nice or handsome. So I laughed at this Ashtavakramuni. I mocked him. So this sage became so upset with me and he angrily cursed me, because Ashtavakramuni has bends in his body. So he is called Ashtavakramuni because of that. So then this Sudarshana laughed at him and mocked him. So Ashtavakramuni cursed him. So you are laughing at me. So I will curse you, that you also will have a body that has so many bends, that is snake body. So a snake body, snake doesn't walk straight, snake walks in a very crooked manner. So in this way, because of mocking a Brahmana, a great Brahmana, the Sudarshana was cursed to become a snake, and because of the touch of Krishna's divine lotus foot, the Sudarshana was relieved from that curse and he became a Gandharva again. So now in the vicinity of all these great Brahmanas and other Vrajavasis, the Sudarshan started offering prayers to Krishna and expressed his heartfelt gratitude to Krishna. He said, "Brahmadandad vimukto aham sadyaste achyuta darshanat. Brahmadandad vimukto aham. Oh Krishna, I have been relieved from the punishment or the curse of a Brahmana. And Achyuta Darshana, I also attained the darshan of the Supreme Lord Achyuta now. Achyuta means Krishna. So, Yan Nama Grahanan Akhilan Shrotrun Atmanam Evacha. So, just by chanting the holy names of Krishna, just by hearing the pastimes of Krishna, one can completely be purified. And now, not only I did this Shravanamar Kirtanam, I even got the touch from the lotus feet of Krishna and I even got the darshan of Krishna. I am so purified. And this is because of the curse of Ashtavakramani. When great sages become angry, and even if they curse also, that curse acts as a blessing upon the person who is being cursed. So once Nalakovara and Manigriva were cursed by Narada Muni to become trees, but in the tree bodies, they got an opportunity to see Krishna's beautiful childhood pastimes in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. So even the curse of great sages is also a blessing. So then all the Vrajavasis saw that this Gandharva is offering prayers to Krishna, and then Gandharva just left after offering prayers, and he also circumambulated Krishna, and all the Vrajavasis were astonished to see Krishna's prowess. So that's one episode that happened on Shivaratri day. And another episode that Sukadeva Goswami describes in this chapter is the holy pastime. So on the full moon day of Falguna month, that's called Holika Purnima. So then that's also called Gaurapurnima in our Gaudiya Vaishnava line. So on that day, once Krishna and Balaram were happily playing with the gopis of Vrindavan. So the gopis were singing, they were playing musical instruments, and Krishna and Balaram also sang. They were all singing, they were dancing, they were playing musical instruments, they were playing. So they were happily spending time. So at that time, one great demon named Shankachuda came there. So he was passing by and he saw, how come these two cowherd boys, insignificant cowherd boys, are enjoying the company of so many young beautiful girls? So this Shankachuda became very envious of Krishna and Balaram. So Shankachuda wanted to take all these gopis for his own enjoyment. He wanted to separate all these gopis from Krishna and Balaram. So this Shankachuda came. There were so many gopis and Krishna and Balaram were there. So Shankachuda took a stick and then started chasing the gopis, moving the gopis as if they were like cows. And the gopis became very upset with Shankachuda's behavior and they cried out for help from Krishna and Balaram. So then Krishna and Balaram came there. They took big sala trees to attack this Shankachuda. So then seeing that these two boys, who were actually cowherd boys, they were so powerful, then Shankachuda started running away. Then Krishna told Balaramji, please take care of these gopis. I will teach him a lesson and then come back. So Balaramji stayed back with the gopis, and Krishna chased this Shankachuda demon, and then he caught him, and then just he slapped him with his fist. He just killed that Shankachuda demon, and he took a beautiful jewel that's there on the head of Shankachuda. So then he came back and offered this jewel that is coming from Shankachuda's head to Balaramji. Krishna did not offer this to any of the gopis, because if Krishna offers this money to one of the gopis, then the gopis would quarrel amongst themselves. So Krishna gave it to Balaram, and all the gopis were very happy. So later, ultimately, that money went to Srimati Radharani's hands. So these are the two episodes that Sukadeva Goswami describes in the 34th chapter. The first episode is how Krishna delivered this Sudarshana Gandharva in the form of a python. So we can learn from this episode that everybody, just like Nanda Maharaj was being swallowed by a snake, all the people in this material realm are being swallowed by the serpent of time, by the serpent of material miseries. So just as Krishna came and relieved Nanda Maharaj from this serpent, similarly, if we offer prayers to Krishna, then we will also be relieved from the suffering of this material existence. And also, from Shankachuda's episode, we can see that Shankachuda is envious of Krishna and Balaram. How can the Supreme Lord, how can Krishna and Balaram enjoy the company of so many gopis? I want that enjoyment. So he became greedy for the enjoyment of the Lord's. So even a conditioned soul also wants to enjoy like God, wants to imitate the enjoyment of the Supreme Lord. But such kind of desires are not proper for a conditioned soul, for a soul. So a soul derives the ultimate spiritual enjoyment in one's love for Krishna and in one's service to Krishna, and not by imitating Krishna. So Shankarachuda was delivered by Krishna. So that completes the 34th chapter. Now we will enter the 35th chapter. 35th chapter is entitled Yugala Gita. Yugala Gita is the song sung by the gopis of Vrindavan when Krishna is wandering in the forest of Vrindavan. So we already discussed in the 21st chapter another song called Venu Gita. Venu Gita is how gopis are glorifying the flute of Krishna when Krishna is wandering in the forest. Yugala Gita is also somewhat similar, but Venu Gita is sung only by the Madhurya gopis, predominantly glorifying Krishna's flute. But Yugala Gita is sung by many gopis, and some of the shlokas are there that are spoken in the presence of Vatsalya gopis also, and not only Krishna's flute, and all overall activities of Krishna are described, and what is the effect of Krishna's activities on various elements of Vrindavan, on the demigods and on the cows, etc., are discussed in this song. This is another beautiful song. So in this song, the gopis of Vrindavan were saying that when Krishna plays his flute, even the demigoddesses are attracted to Krishna's flute song. So, and Krishna is so attractive and enchanting to all the ladies. That's why Krishnam Niriksha Vanitotsava Rupashilam, that line comes. Vanitotsava means the ladies celebrate seeing the Rupa and Shila of Krishna. Rupa is beauty of Krishna, Shila is the character of Krishna. Krishna's Rupa and Shila attract all men and women together. And also when Krishna is beautifully standing there, so he bears a Srivatsa mark on his chest. It's like a lightning. So, and his smile is like a jeweled necklace. Even the animals also get attracted to that beautiful, enchanting form of Krishna. And what to speak of demigoddesses, even animals are also attracted. What to speak of animals who are conscious beings? Even trees also get attracted. Trees are very dull. The consciousness of trees is not as developed as the animals. So demigods are very elevated beings. They are attracted to Krishna. And later the animals are little less conscious than demigods. So these animals are also getting attracted to Krishna. Then the trees, which are very dull, they also get attracted to Krishna. So then Krishna wears a beautiful dress that appears like he is like a rizzler with leaves of peacock feathers and mineral colors. So he is decorated with leaves and peacock feathers, and he has some minerals, color means natural colors applied on his beautiful body. So you say there are some dots on his face and all that. So Krishna is moving so nicely, and all the trees and creepers respond by becoming luxuriant with fruits and flowers and fragrance. So when in Vrindavan, even trees are also conscious, even plants and creepers are also conscious. They offer flowers and fruits and the fragrance coming from them for the worship of Krishna. So in this way, the trees are also worshipping Krishna as Krishna is moving. And even the bees and swans and cranes, they get attracted to Krishna's flute song, and they also make sounds and blend their chirping sound with Krishna's flute song, thus creating a very wonderful soothing musical ambience in Vrindavan. So, and also Krishna, seeing Krishna in the complexion of a bluish cloud, the clouds get attracted. So clouds thundered very mildly, not to disturb the sages. They are thundering mildly, but through the thunder they are expressing their joy of seeing Krishna. Because clouds, when they see Krishna, they think that, oh, this Krishna is also similar to us in color. So we both are like resembling each other. So the clouds become happy. And then some of the gopis come to Mother Yashoda and then start speaking to Mother Yashoda. oh mother Yashoda, your son Krishna has invented so many wonderful and new innovative ways of playing flute. Your son is so great, so no one can play flute like Krishna. And mother Yashoda became very happy. And after that, in the absence of mother Yashoda, the gopis, the Madhurya gopis, started discussing amongst themselves. They said, when Krishna is walking on the surface of earth, earth is relieved of all the distresses. So when cows are running on the surface of the earth, so earth will get that pressure. So, but when Krishna walks behind the cows, mother earth is relieved of all the so-called distress that is experienced by the cow's hoof prints. So cow's hoof prints are little hard, but Krishna's footprints are very soft like butter. So the gopis are saying like this. And of course, the cows of Vrindavan are Krishna's cows. Definitely, they are not a burden for Mother Earth. So when the cows are running on Mother Earth also, Mother Earth feels joy. But in comparison, cow's hoofs are little hard and Krishna's feet are very soft. Mother Earth is relieved of all distress when Krishna walks barefoot on the land of Vrindavan. And even deer get attracted to Krishna. And also other Vrajavasis are getting attracted to Krishna. In this way, all the Vrajavasis sing of Krishna's glories throughout the day. Because when Krishna goes to the forest of Vrindavan along with the cows and the gopas, all the gopis are in intense feelings of separation. They can mitigate their feelings of separation only by discussion about Krishna. When we miss somebody, we naturally want to speak about that person. By speaking about that person a lot, in that person's absence, our feelings of separation will be little mitigated. So when we miss someone, we naturally speak about that person. So all the gopis are constantly missing Krishna at every moment. So at every moment, they discuss about Krishna. That's their Krishna consciousness. So that completes the Yugala Gita, which is a very very sweet song sung by the gopis of Vrindavan. Sukadeva Goswami concludes it by saying, Evam Rajastriyo Rajan Krishna Leelanu Gayati Remire Hahushu Tvachittaha Tanmanaska Mahodayaha. So continuously singing about the pastimes of Krishna. Evam Rajastriyo Rajan. Oh Parikshit Maharaj, Sukadeva Goswami is addressing Parikshit. So Evam Rajastriyo, in this way, all the Vrajastris, the gopis of Vrindavan, Krishna Leena Leelanu Gayati, they are constantly singing the glories of Krishna, Krishna's leelas. So their minds, their hearts are completely absorbed in Krishna's glories. And it's a great festive occasion for all the gopis. So that completes the 35th chapter. Now we will discuss the 36th chapter. In the 36th chapter, Krishna kills Arishtasura. Very beautiful episode. So once a bull demon named Arishtasura came to Vrindavan. So this bull demon started terrorizing all the Vrajavasis. And when this bull came, the bull is so huge that its hooves were, the hump of the bull was touching the sky, was touching the clouds. And when the bull started making its sound, then even cows had miscarriages. All the gopas and gopis started running away from that place, and Krishna faced this bull. Krishna came in front of the bull. Oh Arishtasura, you are so sinful. Why are you creating a lot of disturbance in Vrindavan? When I am there as the protector of all the Vrajavasis, how can you create disturbance? How dare you? So then Krishna slapped Arishtasura, and Arishtasura wanted to run towards Krishna. So a small fight happened between Arishtasura and Krishna. But Krishna can effortlessly kill any powerful demon. Although Krishna was very young, so this demon was so huge. So Krishna slapped Arishtasura and thrashed him to the ground as if it were a wet cloth. When we were washing clothes, we may just thrash the cloths on the ground. So similarly, Krishna thrashed Arishtasura on the ground as if he were a wet cloth, and Arishtasura died. So Krishna entered the village after killing Arishtasura, and all the villagers became so happy. They received Krishna with great joy, and they celebrated this great occasion. So that night, So Arishtasura was killed by Krishna somewhere towards the evening, and that night the gopis met Krishna. And the gopis said, "Oh Krishna, you are very sinful. You have killed a bull." Then Krishna said, "No, that's not a bull. That's a demon in the form of a bull." So in Vrindavan, so many demons came in the form of innocent animals. Bulls or cows or calves or cranes. So that innocent animals and innocent birds are not supposed to be killed. They are supposed to be protected always. But these demons, these big tyrants with malicious intentions, they came to attack Krishna and all the Vrajavasis and disturb the peace there. And when they are attacking, they took the form of innocent animals. So Arishtasura came in the form of a bull. Vatsasura came in the form of a innocent calf. Who could be more innocent than a calf? But this cruel demon took the form of a innocent calf. And Bakasura took the form of a crane, innocent crane. And also Putana took the form of a very glorious mother, but inside she was a monster. Externally she was a mother, inside she was a monster. Pralambasura took the form of a innocent gopa of the same age of Krishna and Balaram, but he was a great demon. So all the demons attacked Vrindavan and Vrajavasis and Krishna and Balaram in the form of innocent beings, either gopas or gopis or animals. So Krishna detected this deception, and he destroyed their lives, and also he liberated them. Although Krishna is killing them, still he is liberating them. So then all the gopis came to Krishna and said, "Krishna, we will not come to you. You cannot be with us. So you have killed a bull. Bull is like our father, and cow is like our mother. Cow gives milk, and bulls help us in agriculture, tilling the lands. So we grow grains only with the help of bulls. You have killed such a bull. So you are so sinful. For this sin, you have to take bath in all the holy places. Then only you will be able to associate with us." So all the gopis accused Krishna of being sinful. And Krishna, "Om apavitraha pavitrova sarvavasthanga topiva yaha smaret pundari kaksham sabahya bhyantara suchihi." Means, just by remembering Krishna, all apavitra can become pavitra. Everything inauspicious or impure can become very auspicious and pure just by the remembrance of Krishna. How can that Krishna become sinful? But his dear devotees, the gopis, are accusing Krishna to be sinful. And Krishna said, no, I did not kill a bull. Bull is like our father. I killed a demon who took the form of a bull. Then the gopis said, no, whatever it may be, he is in the form of a bull, you have killed. So it's a very sweet and loving, friendly, jovial exchange between the gopis and Krishna. So then Krishna said, "Okay, fine. You want me to take bath in all holy places? I will not go there, but I will invoke the presence of all holy places. I will call all the holy places or holy rivers to Vrindavan Dham and take bath here." Then the gopis said, "How can you do that?" Then Krishna struck his foot on the earth, and he created a big ditch there, and he called out for the rivers, holy rivers like Godavari, Narmada, Kaveri, then Yamuna, Ganga. So all great rivers came there, and Krishna requested them, "So you can fill these waters, fill this kund with your waters." So then all these rivers, personified rivers, filled the ditch created by Krishna with their holy waters. So that one ditch, means what, one small lake that Krishna created, is containing the waters of all holy rivers. So Krishna jumped into that river and took bath nicely and told the gopis, "Oh gopis, now you have accused me that I have become impure by killing a bull. So now I have taken bath in all holy rivers. So now I am pure." So actually Krishna is always pure, but Krishna said that, "I have taken bath, I have become pure. So now you have become impure. You have sided a demon. You have to take bath. Now you can come and take bath in my kund. That kund is called Shyamakund." Then the gopi said, "We will make our own kund. We will make our own lake. We will take bath there. Don't worry." Then with their small bangles, they started making a big ditch where Arishtasura's hoof print was there. So the gopis have created a beautiful kund there within short time. So many gopis are there, thousands and thousands of gopis are there. So then they wanted to, they had to fill water in that kund. So then Krishna said, okay, take water from my kund. Then the gopis did not agree. We will get water from Mansi Ganga. So they tried, but then instigated by Krishna, the personified holy places, means a personality who has close connection with all the holy places. So that person came in front of Srimati Radharani and offered very respectful prayers to Srimati Radharani and said, Radharani, can you please one desire that we have? Then Radharani asked, what do you want? Then he said that, will you please allow us to fill your beautiful kund called Radha Kund with our waters? Then Radharani smiled and gave him permission. So all the holy rivers again came and filled the kund made by Srimati Radharani and the gopis. That is called Radha Kund. So after Arishtasura's deliverance, so this Radha Kund and Shyam Kund manifested. And Krishna said that this Radha Kund is very dear to me. Just as Srimati Radharani is extremely dear to me, her kund is also very dear to me. So Krishna said like this. So this happened after killing of Arishtasura. So then we will go to Mathura and let's see what's happening there. Narada Muni, after Krishna killed Arishtasura, Narada Muni thought that Krishna is spending so much time in Vrindavan only. It's more than a decade since Krishna went there. Right on his birthday, as soon as he was born, Krishna went from Mathura to Vrindavan. And more than a decade, Krishna stayed in Vrindavan only. When will he come to Mathura? When will he kill Kamsa? Krishna is only killing all the demons sent by Kamsa. When will Krishna come and kill Kamsa? When will Krishna show his mercy and give his blessings to all the devotees in Mathura? So Narada Muni became very concerned. So Narada Muni went to Kamsa and told, Kamsa, do you know, you have been searching, so desperately you have been searching for the eighth child of Devaki. Eighth child of Devaki is Krishna. And Vasudev only has taken Krishna right on his birthday and kept Krishna very safely under the protection of Nanda Maharaj. You have been thoroughly cheated. So the eighth child of Devaki is Krishna only, who is growing as the son of Nanda and Yashoda in Vrindavan. So then Kamsa became furious. So I always trusted Vasudev, and Vasudev would never take back his word. But now Vasudev royally cheated me. They have presented one baby girl in front of me as their eighth child, but actually their eighth child was a son. So then Kamsa became very furious. He immediately wanted to kill Devaki and Vasudev. Then Narada Muni intervened. Narada Muni said, Kamsa, you should not kill Devaki and Vasudev, because if you kill Devaki and Vasudev, Krishna and Balaram, their children, they will run away. So you should call Krishna and Balaram to Mathura and kill Krishna and Balaram first. Then you can do the needful with Devaki and Vasudev. So they will run away, they will flee. So then Kamsa thought it wise. And Kamsa imprisoned Devaki and Vasudev. He kept them in prison. So now somebody may say that Narada Muni unnecessarily intervened. So Narada Muni is causing trouble to Devaki and Vasudev. He is keeping the lives of Devaki and Vasudev in threat. But actually Narada Muni is acting very favorably to Devaki and Vasudev, because Devaki and Vasudev, they were missing their dear beloved child Krishna. So Devaki gave birth to Krishna, but she could not see Krishna for more than a decade. So they are in extreme feelings of separation. Unless Narada Muni takes such a bold step, at this point it could be very painful for Devaki and Vasudev. But if they tolerate the pain for a while, Krishna is soon going to come back and give his divine darshan to Devaki and Vasudev. And without Narada Muni's intervention, that could not have happened. So Narada Muni is revealing the secret of Krishna's birth to Kamsa is not in favor of Kamsa, but it is in favor of Devaki and Vasudev only. So then Kamsa thanked Narada Muni, and then Kamsa called two demons. they are Vyomasur and Keshi, and told, Keshi, you just go and kill Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan. So before even they reach Mathura, they should be killed there. So many demons were killed by Krishna and Balaram, and now Kamsa foolishly, he was thinking that this Keshi can kill. So he dispatched Keshi, and then Vyomasur also went later. So after doing that, Kamsa has made another plan. So he called Chanura, Mushtika, Shala, Toshala, Kuta, five big wrestlers who were like mountains. So Krishna, Kamsa called them and instructed, you should erect a wrestling arena. We are going to worship the Shiva's bow that is there with us. So we will conduct Dhanuryaga on Chaturdashi day. So Dhanuryaga means a sacrifice that is conducted to worship a bow. So that is Shiva's bow there. So we are celebrating great festival. For this festival of Dhanuryaga, we will call all the local villagers. We will call prominent personalities from local villages, and certainly we will call Nanda Maharaj and the prominent Gopas there, and also Krishna and Balaram along with them. So they should be attending this place. And we will keep Kuvalaya Peda, our huge elephant, there to kill Krishna before he even enters the wrestling arena. So if he misses that, then you five wrestlers are there, Chanura, Mushtika, Shala, Toshala, Kuta. So five of you try to kill Krishna and Balaram. If you also miss, I am there to kill Krishna. So like that, Kamsa has made a big plan of Dhanuryaga on Chaturdashi day. And later, he called for Akrura. Akrura is a very trustworthy minister of the Bhuja and this Yadu dynasties. So then Akrura was called by Kamsa, and Akrura came. And Kamsa revealed all his plan to Akrura. Akrura, take this new, brand new chariot. Go on this chariot to this Vrindavan. And then call Krishna and Balaram, bring them here. And I have made this big plan. And Kamsa revealed all his plan to Akrura also. And Akrura gave a warning to Kamsa. Kamsa, you have made such an elaborate plan to protect yourself. Fine. But Providence has a plan. The destiny has a plan. So however intelligent and smart one may be to escape one's death, one may not be able to escape the plan of Providence. But still you have made your plan, and you are the king, and I am minister, I am supposed to be obedient to you. So I will execute your order. So give me the chariot. So Kamsa was thinking that if I give a brand new chariot to Akrura, Akrura will be very excited to drive that new chariot and get Krishna and Balaram. But Akrura was really excited with the new chariot, not to drive it, but he was thinking that the chariot which has already been used by Kamsa is not fit for Krishna and Balaram to travel. They deserve a brand new chariot. So Akrura was excited for that reason and took that new chariot, and then he agreed to go to Vrindavan and get Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. So the next day morning he will go. So after this meeting, and that completes 36th chapter, now we will enter the 37th chapter. So in the 37th chapter, we will see that Kamsa has already dispatched Keshi to kill Krishna and Balaram. That Keshi demon comes to Vrindavan in the form of a big horse. So that Keshi demon was creating a lot of disturbance. It's making sound and creating a lot of disturbance in Vrindavan, and Krishna came there. And this Keshi was terrifying everybody, and Krishna came there, and Keshi was running in the speed of a mind. But Krishna came there, and Krishna struck his legs, and then willed this Keshi demon, and then threw him away 100 bow lengths. So then Keshi demon again got up and then charged against Krishna. And then finally Krishna, it's after a little fight, so Krishna kept his butter soft cooling hand within the mouth of this Keshi horse, and then killed Keshi. So although Krishna's hand is as soft as butter, as cooling as the moon, still when Krishna kept his hand inside the mouth of Keshi, Keshi felt that a very red hot iron rod is kept in his throat. So then Keshi could not bear that pain, and Keshi just died. So it all depends on how we approach Krishna. Yayathamam prapadyante tamstathaiva bhajamyaham. Means, if we approach Krishna with love and service attitude to worship Krishna and to render service to Krishna, then Krishna is soft and his touch is cooling like butter or cooling like moon. His glances are so soothing and he is very loving in his reciprocation. But if someone goes to Krishna with a demoniac mentality and malicious intention to harm Krishna or his devotees, then Krishna's touch would be like a red hot iron rod for such a person, and Keshi died. So Krishna effortlessly killed Keshi. Then Krishna began performing his pastimes. So Krishna was tending cows along with the gopas and the cows. Then Narada Muni came to Krishna. So Narada Muni went to Kamsa and revealed the secret of Krishna's birth to Kamsa. And after that, Narada Muni came to Vrindavan and met Krishna also. Then Narada Muni told Krishna, "Krishna, your Vrajalila came to an end. You have already spent a lot of your time with the Vrajavasis. It's more than a decade since you are away from Mathura. You are born there and you came here and you never went back. So it's the time for you to give your blessings and mercy and attention to the Mathuravasis also. And not only Mathuravasis, so many other devotees are waiting for you. Now you have to kill Kamsa. I can see all your future pastimes, Krishna. You will be killing Kamsa, you will be killing Chanura, Mushtika, Shala, Toshala, Kota, all these wrestlers. You will be killing Kuvalayapida. You will be protecting Devaki and Vasudev. And you will install Ugrasena as the king of Mathura. And you will also erect the Dwaraka fort. And in future, you will be killing Kalayavana through Muchukunda. And you will also marry Rukmini, Satyabhama, Jambavati, Mitravinda, Kalindi, Nagnajiti, Satya, and many other 16,100 queens who are actually captivated by Narakasur. You will be killing Narakasur and marrying all these queens. And you will also be in that Shamantakamani episode. And you will bring Parijata tree from the heavens to Dwaraka. And you will be associating with the Pandavas. And you will be killing Jarasandha through Bhima. And Yudhishthir Maharaj will be worshipping you in the Rajasuya sacrifice. And after that, you will be orchestrating the Kurukshetra war and reduce the burden of this earthly planet through your devotees, the Pandavas also. So like that, Narada Muni gave a quick summary of the rest of the 10th canto here only. So now you have to move from Vrindavan to Mathura. So Narada Muni did not even consult Krishna before revealing his birth secret to Kamsa. But Narada Muni is in perfect sync with Krishna's intentions, that Narada Muni is always guided by the Supreme Lord so that he can just go and reveal things to the demon like Kamsa and then make arrangements for Krishna's moving from Vrindavan to Mathura also. It's very painful for Krishna to go away from Vrindavan to Mathura. It's even more painful for all the Vrajavasis to send Krishna from Vrindavan to Mathura, but it is a matter of necessity. So Krishna descended on this earthly planet not only to spend time with his dearest devotees, of course that is his primary reason, but he also has to reduce the burden of the earth, kill miscreants and establish dharma and all that. All these are secondary reasons. To spend anugrahaya bhaktanam manusham deham ashritaha. So to show his anugraha to bhaktas is the primary reason for Krishna's descent. Everything else can be done by his other energies or incarnations also. But still, Krishna in this form, he also wants to do these other things. So Krishna has to spend some time there also. So first 1 decade of his life, his most enchanting pastimes of Krishna are in Vrindavan as a child, as a gopa. So they are described very elaborately in almost 40% of the 10th canto. So the remaining part will be for Mathura Leela and Dwaraka Leela. So then Narada Muni revealed all his future plans and he also offered prayers to Krishna, and then finally Narada Muni departed. Then in the afternoon time, another demon came to attack Krishna and the Gopas. So this demon is the son of Mayadanava. His name is Vyomasur. So this Vyomasur came in the form of a Gopa and joined the Gopas when they were playing. So the Gopas along with Krishna and Balram, they were playing a game. In that game, some Gopas became sheep and some Gopas became shepherds, means they take care of the sheep, and some Gopas became policemen. So this there are some Gopas are thieves. So a thief would steal the sheep and the caretaker of the sheep, he would come to the policeman to search. So that's a very innocent small game played by the Vrajavasis, played by the Gopas. So then this Mayadanava's son Vyomasur came there, and he came in the form of a thief, and he started stealing all the Gopas who were playing the roles of sheep. And he has stolen almost all the Gopas, only few Gopas were left. So he kept all these Gopas in a big cave. Then Krishna realized he is not a Gopa, he is a demon. He came in the form of a Gopa and he is kidnapping all my Gopas. So Krishna wanted to attack him. Then Mayadanava's son Vyomasur manifested in his original form as a huge demon, and Krishna just killed him. So Krishna actually clutched Vyomasur between his arms, and then he just effortlessly killed Vyomasur, and Vyomasur died. So that's another episode. So Sukadeva Goswami describes this Vyomasur episode as the last demon killing pastime within Vrindavan in Bhagavatam. So that completes 37th chapter. Now we will come to 38th chapter. So 38th chapter describes Akrura's arrival in Vrindavan. So in the previous chapter we have seen that Kamsa has instructed Akrura to go and get Krishna and Balaram from Vrindavan to Mathura. Now Akrura, throughout the night he was meditating. He could not sleep only. He was meditating on his great fortune because he was going to meet Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan. What else can be a greater fortune than an opportunity to see Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan? So now Akrura was so happy. He was meditating on Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's names, Krishna's qualities. And early in the morning, without even taking breakfast, he boarded on this brand new chariot to bring Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. So on the way to Vrindavan, Akrura went into a very great devotional contemplation, meditation. So Prabhupada says that one cannot purchase a ticket and go to Vrindavan. We have to have the right mood of visiting Vrindavan. So Vrindavan can be best experienced when we are in the right consciousness, not exactly by in the mode of travel or in the kind of accommodation that we stay there. So these are all externals or secondary. The most important thing to visit Vrindavan is the right mood, the right consciousness. So that consciousness, the mood of visiting Vrindavan, of entering Vrindavan, is taught to us by Akrura's behavior. So this whole chapter describes the mood of entering Vrindavan through the example of Akrura. So Akrura could not even sleep throughout the night because he was meditating on his great fortune of coming to Vrindavan. So going to Vrindavan is such a rare privilege that one should not take it for granted, one should not take it cheaply. So that one has to really value and cherish that opportunity to go to Vrindavan. Akrura is absorbed in that consciousness. So he was thinking, I shall see the face of Mukunda today. And Akrura, on his way, he was thinking, Mamaitad durlabham manya uttamashloka darshanam Vishayatmano yatha brahma kirtanam shudra janmanaha. He says, Mamaitad durlabham manya, today I received the rarest opportunity to go and see Krishna in Vrindavan. So it is as rare as a Shudra's chanting of the Vedic mantras. And Kirtanam Shudra Janmanaha Vishayatmano, although I am a Vishayatmana, although I am absorbed in sense gratification and material enjoyment in my household life, still I received this great opportunity. So this Akrura was not thinking himself to be qualified or fit enough to go to Vrindavan. Akrura is only thinking that I am unqualified. but I received the mercy of the Lord. That's why I'm able to go to Vrindavan. And he says further in the 5th shloka,
Maivam mamadhamasyapi syadevachyuta darshanam hriyamanah kalanadya kvachit taratikashchana. Maivam mamadhamasyapi, although I am an adhama, although I am so fallen, still achyuta darshanam, I am getting an opportunity to take the darshan of Lord Achyuta Krishna in Vrindavan.
And hriyamanah kalanadya, he gives an example. For example, somebody does not know swimming and he is drowning in an ocean. But somehow by the very waves of the ocean, that person is just thrown on the shore. So he himself did not have any ability to swim and he is in the middle of the ocean. There is no boat there, but somehow the ocean itself threw him on the shore. That's very unimaginable, inconceivable good fortune. Akrura is also thinking like that. Although I am unqualified or unfit in so many ways, still I got an opportunity to see Krishna in Vrindavan. That's a great privilege that I have. So Akrura was not at all considering that, yes, I deserve it. This has to be my privilege. So Akrura was not demanding for an opportunity to go to Vrindavan or thinking himself to be fit to go to Vrindavan, but he is only considering Krishna's great mercy. And in the next shloka he says that
mamadya mangalam nashtam phalavamscheiva me bhavaha yannamasye bhagavato yogidheyanghri pankajam.
He says, adya, today I have become extremely fortunate, and phalavamscheiva me bhavaha, my whole birth has become very successful and fruitful. I attained the purpose of my birth, or the fruit of my birth, fruit of my existence, by going to Vrindavan. So now Akrura was thinking that, okay, let me just keep aside all my conceptions of being unqualified and let me just take this opportunity, embrace this opportunity to go to Vrindavan. So although a devotee is convinced of one's own disqualifications, out of humility, although a devotee is qualified and fit enough to take shelter of Krishna, for a privileged opportunity to see Krishna, still out of humility, a devotee thinks himself unqualified. And although a devotee is convinced about his own disqualifications, still a devotee accepts the privileged opportunity to see Krishna and serve Krishna. Why? Because a devotee always thinks that Krishna's mercy is greater than my own disqualification. Yes, I am unqualified in so many ways, but Krishna's mercy is so great that mercy can deliver even such an unqualified and lowly person like me also. That's the mood of a devotee. Even Prahlad also, we discussed in the 7th canto in the Pravaha series, Prahlad Maharaj considered himself very unqualified, unfit to appease Lord Narasimhadev. But still Prahlad went forward and offered prayers to Narasimhadev. Tasmad aham vigata viklava ishvarasya. He said that, let me keep aside all my conceptions of being unfit to pray to Lord Narasimhadev. So let me keep aside all those misconceptions or conceptions of being unqualified. Let me just focus on Krishna's mercy. And for my own benefit, for my own spiritual advancement, for my own connection with Krishna, let me pray, although I am unqualified in so many ways. So, to the best of my ability, I will serve the Lord. That's the mood of a devotee. Devotee does not say, I am not qualified to serve the Lord, let me not serve only. He will say, I will serve the Lord to the best of my ability, which is actually given by the Lord only. So, a devotee thinks that Krishna's mercy is greater than my own disqualifications. So, Akrura accepted this privilege, and Akrura even thanked Kamsa. Kamsa has given great mercy to me. He showed a great mercy, although he himself is a demon, still he showed a great mercy on me, although I am unqualified. So sometimes Krishna can show mercy on us even through demons also. Sometimes some person may be troubling us in various ways, but still it could be Krishna's mercy coming through that person. Because this person is troubling us, we are realizing that this material world is not a fit place to live. So in the trouble, we are depending more on Krishna. We are connecting more with Krishna. So in the midst of all those troubles, so we need to understand that Krishna can show us mercy through anyone. Krishna showed mercy on Akrura through Kamsa. Who can be a more worse demon than Kamsa? But Krishna utilized Kamsa also to give a privileged opportunity to Akrura. So many people were fearful of Kamsa. So if somebody wants to go to Vrindavan, maybe Kamsa will kill them. But Akrura was called by Kamsa and then told Akrura, Kamsa told Akrura, you bring Krishna and Balram. So that's such a rare opportunity, and Akrura is celebrating this. So Krishna can show us mercy through anybody. Then Akrura says in the 8th shloka, Yadarchitam brahma bhavadibhis surahi shriyacha devya munibhis sattvatai gocharanayanu charaischaradvane yad gopikanam kuchakumkumankitam. That Supreme Lord Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord of all opulences, he is playing the role of a cowherd boy in Vrindavan, and he is walking barefoot behind the cows into the forests. And tad yad gopikanam kuchakumkumankitam, and that Krishna is carried by the Vatsalya gopis on their hearts. And the touch of Krishna's lotus feet is available for all the gopis and gopas and the land of Vrindavan. So he is so great. So there are many other details also in the shloka. We'll move ahead in the next shloka. So Akrura, in his great devotional absorption, he even glorifies the process of hearing Krishna katha. Yasya khilami vahabissu mangalaihi vacho vimishra guna karma janmabhi prananti shumbhanti punanti vai jagat yastadvirakta shavashobhanamata. Yasya khilami vahabissu mangalaihi. The process of glorifying Krishna can completely destroy all inauspiciousness in this entire creation. Prananti, shumbhanti, punanti vai jagat. Prananti means that Krishna katha, means the glorification of Krishna, actually induces life into this universe. That is the life of the universe. Prananti. Shumbhanti, that beautifies the universe. Punanti, that purifies the universe. So the universe is animated, purified and beautified only by the descriptions of Krishna. So without descriptions of Krishna, without being absorbed in hearing about Krishna, there is no beauty, there is no animation, there is no life, there is no purity in this entire universe. Yastad virakta shavashobhanamataha. Words that do not describe Krishna's nama, rupa, guna, leela are like decorations of a dead body. This is what Akrura says. And later Akrura goes into very deep devotional remembrance that today I will go, and as soon as I go to Vrindavan, I will be able to see the beautiful form of Krishna and Balaram, and I will fall at the feet of Krishna, I will offer obeisances to Krishna. Even offering obeisances to Krishna is such a rare privilege that one should not take it for granted. We may go to the temple and offer obeisances to the Lord, to the deities, and we may do it as a matter of routine sometimes. But Akrura is meditating, I will be going and offering obeisances in front of the Lord. So he is so excited about it. He is so eager to do it. And then Krishna will lovingly pick me up, and he will embrace me, and he will put his lotus hand on my head. And also I will offer obeisances not only to Krishna, but also to Balaram and also to other gopas in Vrindavan also. So one should not only worship and respect the Lord, one should also worship and respect the Lord's devotees. So in this way Akrura is meditating on every small thing that he is going to do in Vrindavan. So he is so excited, and Akrura was totally absorbed in this meditation, and then he came to Vrindavan. He could not even understand where he is going. He started from Mathura, and he started thinking about Krishna, and he could not see whether his chariot is moving in the right path, right road or not. But somehow he reached Vrindavan, so without even being conscious about it. And as soon as Akrura saw Akrura reached Vrindavan, he got down from the chariot, he saw the beautiful divine footprints of Krishna on the land of Vrindavan. Sanchintayet Bhagavatas Charanaravindam Vajrankusadhvaja Saroruhalanchanadhyam Uttunga Rakta Vilasan Nakhachakravala Jyotsna Virahata Mahadhridayandhakaram. So, Sanchintayet Bhagavatas Charanaravindam, we should always meditate on the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord Krishna, and those lotus feet are marked with such auspicious signs as a thunderbolt and a lotus and a elephant goat, etc. So, by meditating on the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord Krishna, the effect is that the thick gloom of darkness, of ignorance that is there within our hearts will be completely dispelled when we expose ourselves to the effulgence coming from the toenails of Krishna. And the big mountain of sin that is there in our hearts can be smashed by meditating on Krishna's lotus feet. So, now that auspicious footprints of Krishna are seen by this Akrura when he came to Vrindavan, and Akrura is so excited about this. And Akrura was also thinking that this is the greatest purpose of human life. And Akrura started rolling in the dust of those lotus feet. And he did not even fear maybe Kamsa's associates who are going around everywhere like spies. They may see me and they may report to Kamsa, and Kamsa might arrest my family members. All these fears are not there. So Akrura saw the footprints of Krishna and he spontaneously started rolling in the dust of Krishna's lotus feet there. And he forgot his position as a minister, as a servant of Kamsa. He just identified himself only as a devotee of Krishna. And he says, Deham brutam iyanartho hitva dambham bhiyam shucham sandeshadyo harer linga darshana shravanadibhi. The purpose of having this body is to use that body in various devotional services like darshana, shravana, etc., etc. By hearing about Krishna, use our ears to hear about Krishna, and use our tongue to glorify Krishna, use our eyes to see the beautiful form of Krishna. And this is the purpose of having all these senses, this entire body. Even Mukundamala Stotra also says the same thing. Jihve kirtaya keshavam muraripum cheto bhaja shridharam Panidvandvasamarchaya chutakatha shrotradvayatvam shrunum krishnam lokaya lochana dvaya harer gachhangri yugmalayam jighra ghrana mukunda pada tulasim murdhanna madhokshajam. Jihve kirtaya keshavam, use your tongue in glorifying Krishna. Muraripum cheto bhaja, use your mind or consciousness in meditating on Krishna. Cheto bhaja shridharam pani dvandva samarchaya, use your two hands in worshipping Krishna. Srotra dvayatvam shrunu, use your two ears in hearing about Krishna. Then krishnam lokaya lochana dvaya harer, use your two eyes in seeing the beautiful form of Krishna. Gachhangri yugmalayam, use your two legs in walking to the temple of Krishna. Jighra ghrana mukunda pada tulasim murdhanna madhokshajam, use your nose in smelling the tulasi leaves offered to Krishna's divine lotus feet. This is how you are supposed to engage all your senses in Krishna consciousness. And Akrura is saying that deham bhritamiyanartho, that is the purpose of having this body. If this body is not being utilized in various services to Krishna, what is the purpose of this human body? So Akrura is convinced about this. Then Krishna and Balaram manifested in front of Akrura. Akrura reached Vrindavan and he was able to see Krishna and Balaram. And true to his expectation, Krishna came forward, embraced Akrura, and then Krishna and Balaram very lovingly invited Akrura into their homes. And Nanda Maharaj also came there and received Akrura with great love and affection and took Akrura to the inner chambers of the house, and that completes the 38th chapter. Now we will enter the 39th chapter. So 39th chapter describes the discussions that happened between Krishna and Akrura, and the decision that is made by the Vrajavasis to send Krishna from Vrindavan to Mathura, and also the anguish of all the gopis with this whole proposal. So when Akrura went to the inner chambers of Krishna's house, Nanda Maharaj's house, so Nanda Maharaj inquired about the welfare of all the Yadus in front of Akrura, and he spoke for a while, and Nanda Maharaj went outside. Then Krishna and Balaram continued to stay with Akrura, and they began some confidential discussions. So Krishna asked Akrura, "My dear Akrura, what is the situation of all the Yadus there? Oh, I'm sorry, I asked like this. When that cruel Kamsa is there, how can anyone be very peaceful or happy? So, can you please tell me what is the purpose of your coming here?" Then Akrura revealed everything. Kamsa has planned for a big Dhanuryaga, and he wanted to invite people from different villages, and he wants you and Balaram also to come to Dhanuryaga. And actually his intention in conducting this Dhanuryaga is to just kill you, because you are the eighth child of Devaki. And my dear Krishna, Mother Devaki has become so emaciated, and she became so weak. Since more than a decade, she has been thinking about you only, Krishna. And Devaki is experiencing so much pain. A mother who has such a noble child like you, a great son like you, should not be suffering like this. Although you are the direct son of Devaki, and Devaki is suffering like anything for more than a decade. Can you please come and relieve her of suffering? And Vasudev is being insulted by Kamsa every now and then. Now both of them are imprisoned by Kamsa. Kamsa has been very cruel with them. Even before your birth, Kamsa tormented them in various ways. So even Krishna's parents also had to undergo a lot of tribulations before Krishna's birth and after Krishna's birth also. So even a devotee also sometimes have to undergo a lot of difficulties. But the success of a devotee is not to avoid suffering, but the success of a devotee is to continue remembrance of Krishna, and then continue to have faith and devotion for Krishna even in the midst of thousands and thousands of reversals. That's the success of a devotee. Devaki and Vasudev and all the other devotees, they did not lose their faith in the Supreme Lord Krishna. They did not lose their hope in Krishna. They continued their devotion and their service to Krishna, their remembrance of Krishna, even in the midst of all these difficulties. That is the success of a devotee. A devotee is not successful just by avoiding misery or avoiding suffering, because in this material world, avoiding suffering or misery is not possible only. The world is made like that. But in the midst of miseries, if you can remember Krishna and depend on Krishna, that's the greatest spiritual achievement. And devotees are exemplifying this. Now Akrura begged Krishna, "Please come and relieve your mother from suffering, your father from suffering." Then Krishna agreed. And Krishna came out and told Nanda Maharaj, "My dear Nanda Maharaj, so here is an announcement from Kamsa. So let us all go to Mathura. There is a very long discussion. I described all this in the previous series, lessons from Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. Now I am giving you a very compact overview of all the chapters of 10th canto. So basically there is a long discussion between the Vrajavasis whether to send Krishna to Mathura or not. Then finally Nanda Maharaj had to oblige because Kamsa has ordered, because it is the king's order. If the king's order is not followed, all the Vrajavasis may sometimes be attacked also by Kamsa. So Nanda Maharaj agreed to send Krishna and Balaram to Mathura as per the order of Kamsa, and Nanda Maharaj himself also came along with Krishna and Balaram and many other gopas to attend this Dhanuryaga. And all the Vrajavasis just believed that Krishna will come back in just few days. So if Kamsa does any mischief there, Krishna has the ability to kill Kamsa also. And then after attending the Dhanuryaga, Krishna will come back to Vrindavan. But although all the Vrajavasis or most of the Vrajavasis believe like this, the Madhurya Gopis of Vrindavan could not believe. And Mother Yashoda also was totally filled with separation and she could not speak anything. All the elders are taking decision and it is the king's order. She, being an innocent woman, she could not do anything. She was speechless. She was just crying in separation from her beloved child Krishna. And she also had to agree. But the Madhurya Gopis of Vrindavan, as soon as this announcement was made that Krishna and Balaram are going to Mathura tomorrow early in the morning and Akrura is going to take them, the Madhurya Gopis suspected that Krishna will never come back. All these Gopis were thinking. They gathered in groups and they started singing Viraha Gita. Viraha Gita means the song of separation sung by the Gopis. So we saw their Venu Gita in the 21st chapter, and we saw their Gopi Gita in the 31st chapter, and we saw the Yugala Gita in the 35th chapter. Now in this 38th chapter, we are seeing their Viraha Gita. So these are various songs sung by the Gopis of Vrindavan in their feelings of love and separation from Krishna. Most of the songs are sung in separation. Now this separation, this Viraha Gita, is an intense separation. So this Viraha Gita is coming in the 38th chapter, 39th chapter. And in this chapter, from shloka number 14, this Viraha Gita begins. The mental anguish of all the gopis. So actually from 19th shloka, 19th to 31st shloka is the Viraha Gita. The gopis are saying, Aho avidhatastavanak pachidvaya samyojya mitraya pranayena dehinaha. Aho vidhata tavanak pachidvaya. O vidhata, O providence, you have no daya, you have no compassion. You only brought us together. So you bring people together and then you create loving, intimate relationships between the people. You increase their emotions, but you just separate them. So you have absolutely no daya, you have no compassion only. And then they say that, why are we unnecessarily criticizing the providence? After criticizing the providence for a while, that you are like a child, you are an immature, inexperienced boy, you just brought us together and you are separating us now. Then they thought that, why are we unnecessarily blaming the providence? We have to criticize Krishna. It is Krishna who is going to Mathura. So Krishna will make friendships and he will break friendships within a moment. So he will go to Mathura now and he will start making friendship with more beautiful women there. They are more sophisticated women and we are simple village girls, and Krishna will find very sophisticated women in Mathura and he will make friendship there and he will never come back. While many other Vrajavasis believed that Krishna will come back in few days after attending Dhanuryaga in Mathura, Gopis were convinced that Krishna may not come back out of their intense feelings of separation. Within an eye blink, the Gopis feel separation for several yugas. Truti yugayate tvama pashyatam. Yesterday we discussed in Gopi Gita. Truti means just a fraction, a small fraction of a second is like a big yuga for the Gopis. If that is the extent of their feelings of separation, how can they tolerate separation for 2-3 days till Krishna comes back? And they were suspecting that it may not be 2-3 days. It will be for a long separation. So Krishna may not even come back. He will stay in Mathura only. The Gopis were thinking like this. So the Gopis, then they throughout the night they were meditating on Krishna's beautiful character, beautiful voice, beautiful glances and eyes and smiles and all the intimate exchanges that they had with Krishna all the while. So they were thinking, they were meditating, they were remembering, and throughout the night they were singing this Viraha Gita, and in the morning they realized that none of the elders were stopping this event. Then they were thinking that these elders have gone mad or what? Are they not realizing that they are just sending their lives away from Vrindavan? Krishna is the life of Vrindavan. If Krishna goes out of Vrindavan, Vrindavan will be lifeless. All the gopis were feeling extreme anguish within their hearts. So till morning, nobody has done anything. And all preparations were being made for Krishna to go to Vrindavan. Akrura was ready to take Krishna to Vrindavan. And the gopis were thinking that this Akrura is not Akrura, he is Krura. Krura means cruel. So he is taking our Krishna away from Vrindavan and he is not even coming and consoling us. Such a hard-hearted person he is. Such a cruel person he is. He is supposed to be Krura, not Akrura. Although Akrura is a sincere devotee and he is following the order of the king, Kamsa, and he has the consent of Nanda Maharaj and he has the permission of Krishna. Krishna is personally accompanying Akrura, but still Akrura could have come and spoken to the gopis. Although we may be doing our service as a matter of our routine or as a matter of duty, and it's a bona fide authorized service, still if that service is causing some pain to some devotees, and especially if we know that they are inconvenienced or they are feeling that pain, if we take out a minute and then go and say some sorry or just console the devotee or give a small explanation or a clarification under what circumstances we had to do it, then we could avoid any reaction to such an offense. So these gopis, who are the topmost devotees of Krishna, are so affected by Akrura's behavior. And later, because of this offense to the gopis, Akrura, because of this unintentional offense to the gopis, Akrura was involved in a conspiracy. Conspiracy in the Shamantakamani episode that we will see in the later chapters in Dwarka Leela. So now Akrura started taking Krishna away from Vrindavan. The chariot already began, started. Then all the gopis just came out of their houses. So giving up all the social barriers or social customs or their shyness or anything, they came on the road. Some of them fell flat on the road and they said that, Akrura, if you want to take Krishna away from Vrindavan, take your chariot on our dead bodies. And some gopis went and caught the chariot driver and then pulled him down and started beating him. And some gopis caught the chariot wheels, some gopis caught the horses, and some gopis caught Balaramji, some gopis caught Krishna, weeping and requesting Krishna to stay back. But Krishna consoled them with his loving words and glances, and then said, I will surely come back, please don't worry. And somehow Krishna made them stay back in Vrindavan, and Krishna proceeded to this Mathura along with Akrura, while the gopis stood there just like figures in a painting, watching Krishna's chariot moving away from Vrindavan with tears in their eyes. And they stood there just like figures in a painting till the last speck of dust settled down on the ground. So as chariot is moving, a lot of dust comes out, right? So till the last speck of the dust settled down on the ground, they were standing there and watching Krishna in feelings of separation. So thus Krishna went to Mathura, and on the way to Mathura, Akrura stopped his chariot and he went to take bath, to do his Sandhyavandan in the river. So in the river at Brahmaharada, so Akrura could see all the divine opulences of Krishna. Krishna revealed a very magnificent darshan to Akrura. Krishna revealed his Vishnu form, and Balaramji revealed his Anantasesha form, and all the great demigods and sages are glorifying the Supreme Lord within the waters. And Akrura had this divine vision. And then Akrura came out of the water and he saw Krishna and Balaram standing in the chariot only, sitting in the chariot only. And Akrura was so surprised and he offered prayers. So we will see the details of those prayers and what else had happened when Krishna went to Mathura in the next episode. Today we have covered how Krishna killed this Shankachuda demon, and how Krishna delivered that Sudarshana serpent, who was actually a Gandharva. And also we have seen the Yugala Gita sung by the gopis of Vrindavan, and we saw how Krishna killed Arishtasur, Vyomasur and Keshi, and how Kamsa planned to bring Krishna to Mathura and Akrura's arrival into Vrindavan and his meditation on his great fortune of visiting Vrindavan and how Akrura has taken away Krishna from Vrindavan and the gopis' feelings of separation in the form of Viraha Gita. So thank you all very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.